As a child, I somehow got into the habit of labeling myself and my siblings. My sister Marcia was the pretty one. My brother Michael was the smart one. And I was the athletic one. Now, before you worry about my parents' skills, I don't ever remember their putting these labels on us, but somehow I created these labels and limited myself and my siblings with them. I'm the athletic one, so my key way of defining myself for most of my life has always been through sports. And when sports didn't go well, I wasn't so good myself. And the worst part was that I assumed that since I was the athletic one, I couldn't be smart. Where I get this logic, I don't know, but, you know, if I'm not the smart one. But I think we all, to some degree, cripple ourselves with our insistence on labeling and compartmentalizing. Instinct prevents our seeing what God can effect through us and through our relationships with others because we label the things of God using the labels of human beings. And so we struggle with the grace of God because human life encourages us to put convenient labels and compartments and use those to categorize what God has done and what God can do for us. Today we have this story from Luke. And these ordinary people say, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The Jerusalem Bible version of this story doesn't use the word thing, but uses the word event. I think both words, thing and event, are words that we resort to when we don't have another way of describing something. What is this that has happened? And what can happen to us as a result? Such things, such events, make us nervous because we can't label them easily. And we love to label them and keep all things in their place. We love to shrink God and God's grace to manageable proportions. There is a commentary that says this about this thing that the shepherds witnessed. It says, "There is always danger that men insisting on what they call realism may pull down the shutters across the windows of wonder and dwell in the grudging darkness of the narrow facts." We think of ourselves as realists. And doing that, we believe that the only things that can be done are the things that have already been done, and that God can only do with us what fits within our own labels and our own compartments. Today, we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder how, in our effort to control things and to control our fear, I wonder how we have limited what that holy name might mean in our lives. How has our narrow definition of God limited what can happen to us and in us? Let us go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. In our discussions with our Muslim friends, they asked us a lot of questions about doctrine. And the difficult dimension of that is that we really can't fit God into human thought and human words. And so we do the best we can, and we use metaphors and we use descriptions that help us, but we can't really describe what God is and what God does. But the fact that we have no words that are adequate doesn't mean we should remain aloof from what God can do. So we do speak as best we can of the immeasurable ineffable, incomprehensible grace of God. And if instead we insist on labeling things, we miss grace for ourselves, or we think it is denied to other people. In our ordinary human lives, what are the labels that we use that limit us and that cripple us? I think primarily the two labels that we use that are most crippling are the words them and us. I know that you're experiencing this, and I don't think it's just this time in our country, but over the last several years, if you begin any discussion of a social justice issue, of patriotism, of international relations, of energy, of almost anything else that's out there in the social mindset, if you begin that discussion, for the most part, both people in the discussion start to say, is she one of us or one of them? Conversation ends when we label each other, and compromise never has a chance. And so we don't have public dialogue anymore. We have duels, shooting at each other, and never listening. And prejudice, whether it is racial or another form of prejudice, comes from our instinct to label. If we can project onto a person who's different from us some manageable set of characteristics, we will not be pulled out of our own comfort into a disquieting discussion or action or conversation. If we can just label them and then ignore the rest of what they have to say, we are much more comfortable. But in the life with God, nothing has to be either this or that. No one has to miss out on grace just because someone else has it. We can all have it. And the labels and the compartments we like make no sense if we really want to talk about something that is eternal. And I have learned over these many decades, as it turns out, I'm the other smart one. And I'm smart enough to know this. Labels do not belong in our discussion of God. We are saved, but by the grace of God, they can be too. It's not this or that. So why not omit the labels and leave room for God's grace? We speak of and we live the holy name of God as Christians. So now let us go and see this thing that has happened. Let us just go. And then let's see what God can do with an open mind and an open heart.